learning lots. Bree and Jesse are learning lots. They'll learn so much, their heads will grow. There won't be anything they don't know. They'll make Einstein look like a stupid schmo. And you can learn lots too with Bree and Jesse.
Hello. Hi. Hey. I'm Bree.
Hello. Hi. Hey, I'm Jesse.
And we are
Learning Lots.
This week's topic is listening. We will be listening to each other and you will be listening to us talk about listening.
Have you always been a good listener?
No, I don't think that I was always a good listener. I think it's something that you have to practice and be committed to and care about, which is so strange because it seems like we're talking about something that is normal and innate and should just be part of us, but it's really not. And there are certain things that I'm a great listener about. Other things, ooh, not so much. Hey, if you want to give me a criticism, might not be listening. Or maybe, just maybe, depending on how deep the cut is, I might be hyper aware of what it is that you're saying. I might be getting a little red in the face while you're telling me, and I'm listening to every word so I can prepare how to throw it back.
I get stuck sometimes, and I feel dumb when it happens, but I'll be listening. And then when I realize it's my turn to talk, I haven't thought about what I'm going to include in the conversation or how I'm going to participate. So the next thing I say is like completely unrelated.
But I do appreciate that it's because you're really listening and that you're present in the conversation.
Yeah, it's a skill and a fault. Another thing I realized, this was years ago in our friendship, specifically if you were calling me with a problem, I would always relate my own experiences to that problem. And that's not really listening or being a supportive friend. It's kind of just inserting yourself into someone else's problems. I made that switch. I think I've gotten better at that. What do you think? Have I?
I give you very positive feedback on that.
Thank you.
But also, that was something you adjusted on your own. That wasn't something I came to and was like, you know, Jesse, you really talk about yourself.
No, yeah. You never said anything like that. And even when I brought it up to you, you were like, oh, do you do that? Okay, well.
Like, I'm too busy thinking about myself to notice you. The literal listening of just like following the simple directions. It's very helpful at work too. I'm sure you've experienced this a bunch, Jesse, but sometimes, you know, you get with your director or with your other actors on set and you sort of start like talking about things like, I don't know, like, is this line good? Like, should I do this? What? And then it's like, what if we just like did it and just listened to one another and somehow you can just drop in and you're there and you're like, oh, we did all this chatter about something that all it really took was us just surrendering and being with each other, looking at each other in the eye, listening, connecting. It's one of the great pleasures of our job is the eye contact and the listening that we're paid to get to do.
I think something that is really helpful in practicing being a good listener is mirroring the person. So if you tell me something, I can say, I think what I'm hearing is, and then essentially just regurgitate what I think you were saying back to you so that you have the option of saying, yes, that is what I'm saying, or, oh no, I think you're misunderstanding me. And that's great with work too, because we get given directions sometimes that we think we understand, and it's so much better to just say, is this what you're telling me to do?
Should we practice?
Sure.
Oh gosh, Jesse, I just woke up and I couldn't really get in sync with the day. Everything felt out of rhythm, and I kept forcing myself to get back in the timeline, and I just couldn't do it. You know what I mean?
I think what I'm hearing you say is that you're feeling out of sync with stuff and you're trying really hard, but there's just stuff in your way. And so this is a challenging time for you.
Yeah, that is what I'm saying. Thanks for listening to me.
I hear you.
What's the difference between hearing and listening?
I don't know.
Did I break you? I think that hearing, I don't digest it. I heard it, but did I really like take it in? To me, listening sort of brings about like connection, empathy, oneness. And then hearing reminds me of maybe when I'm distracted or I'm in a panic. Have you ever had moments where someone's like expressing something to you and you like get through it, but then you walk away and you're like, oh, I wasn't really there with them. Did I really understand what it was connected to, where that person's coming from?
Yes, absolutely. Especially if I'm distracted. When is it hard for you to listen?
It's very hard if there's two different sounds happening. I need like a quiet room in order to really connect with what someone's saying. What about you?
I used to get real angsty when we'd be listening to music in the car and then my mom would start talking to me. I'd be like, can we just pause the music or can you not talk during the song? Because it was overwhelming. It was like too much was going on. And I used to blame myself and say that's a bad thing. I should be able to multitask and listen to music and have a conversation at the same time. But I'm 30 now and I still can't really do it.
Yes. And I think maybe more of us have that. And maybe we all do. It's just like, who's being diligent about this concept that we're talking about of listening, and who's just kind of suppressing what they're feeling of going like, you know, this is difficult, but like, it's good enough. Whereas it sounds like both of us have become rather committed to the practice of listening. It means stepping away from yourself in a way and stepping towards another person.
Yeah, definitely. I think the most useful thing you can do when you're really trying to understand what someone's saying is quiet the voice in your head that's figuring out how you're a part of this or how you're going to react to what they're saying. And even for me, keeping my hands still, planting my feet on the ground, zeroing in on the person, looking at them in their eyes, really trying to absorb their feelings, the words that they're saying, and the way that they're expressing what's going on. That to me is active listening. I think I'm pretty good at listening to myself, but it's about kind of muting the voice in my head when trying to listen to someone else.
How are you about listening to people that have the opposite perspective of you?
Not great. For instance, family members who have very different political beliefs. I have a real hard time empathizing with that. I don't really give them the benefit of the doubt that I expect them to give me, which is that, oh, they've maybe studied this, or they have done some interior searching of their mind, and this is how they relate to the people in their world.
The concept of us believing that we are right in our beliefs is so connected to our ability to listen. This idea that we are so right in our views doesn't allow us to open up and listen to another perspective. And this is where we get extreme divisiveness that we're obviously experiencing in our country. So with that, what would happen if we could listen, which I think has patience, has empathy, has the willingness to be wrong? That's part of why I think this conversation is so incredibly important, because this is the basis of everything.
Yes. And it also ties back in with our confidence episode, in that Amy was saying how it takes a lot of confidence to say, I don't know. And so, God, if I could just key into that I don't know part of myself a little more, I think I'd be a better listener.
Amaryllis Fox is a best-selling author, activist, CIA veteran, and an expert listener. Her story and resume is truly incredible and too extensive to cover in this introduction, but she is currently the host of the number one Netflix series, The Business of Drugs, and the upcoming podcast, The Dawnbringers. She has written the international bestseller, Life Undercover, Coming of Age in the CIA, and her viral video about listening to our enemies has been viewed well over 100 million times. Hello.
Hello. Hi, guys.
Hi.
It is so nice to meet you, Jesse. And I've got to tell you, my husband and I geek out on Mythic Quest. We're halfway through season two. I was like, of course that's Bree's best friend, because she is so funny and so badass. So it's great to meet you in person.
I can't believe it. You just made my day.
You picked the topic listening. Can we first start with why you wanted to talk about this topic?
You know, I think it's something that's so innate and intuitive to all of us as humans, and yet so desperately lacking in our society and our community right now. And it was a huge part of my journey, because I grew up focused on human rights and wanting to be a journalist. And it was losing my best friend in a terror attack in third grade after 9/11. And I really wanted to listen. I wanted to understand what on earth could drive human rational actors to wake up on a given Tuesday morning and think that the only logical or available option to them was flying a plane into a building full of innocent people. And I was pretty sure that as long as we were going to speak over people and say they did it because they hate us because we're free, or, you know, this or that easy answer, instead of listening to what was actually causing the fighting, that it wasn't going to stop. It took me 10 years to really understand what listening meant. I ended up joining the CIA, and it wasn't until I was living year after year in the field that I think I realized that the answers that you're getting from somebody else are not a zero-sum game with your own. And the sort of story in my family that we always use as a shorthand for that goes back to when I was a little kid, and my dad was sitting at the table with us and gave my brother a block and said, what shape is this? It was one of my little sister's playing blocks. And he said, well, it's a triangle, and then showed it to me, and it was really clearly a square. And I couldn't figure out, because my brother it was a completely trustworthy and intelligent person, I couldn't figure out why he was swearing up and down that he was seeing a totally different thing from what I was seeing. It felt like our minds were being bent. And then my dad opened his hand and it was a pyramid with a square base and triangular sides. And we were both looking at different sides of this. And from then on, the shorthand of my family, my dad would say, solve for the pyramid. How can your narrative and the person you're talking to, whose worldview is so different from yours, both be true? Is there a three-dimensional model of the world that would allow these two truths to coexist and to inform one another? And I think that's what we're really having a hard time reaching for in our communities and our interactions today.
I'm struggling with it. The most challenged I get in listening is when I have to talk to someone who has opposite political beliefs, because I just end up thinking they're dumb. I just go, oh, they don't know what they're talking about and whatever, in one ear and out the other. I can't win this battle, so what's the point? What am I supposed to do?
Right? It's so hard. It's the big challenge of our times, and it was for me too. You know, I was working to sit across the table from people who are trying to kill us, and it's very difficult to go into that with anything other than the mindset that you just described. You know, I had this great experience when I was down in Houston after Hurricane Harvey, and I was there with a veterans charity. We were mucking out houses after the storm, and we're in this house of this guy who, he warned us before we went in. He was a big Second Amendment guy. There was live ammo floating in the water, you know, Confederate flag out front. It was pretty clear from what he was saying while we were in there that he was like, you know, I can't believe you guys even went over to the Middle East. Like, how could you be around those, all kinds of insert terrible names here? And we could not wait to get out of there. But at the end of the day, the pickup truck that goes around and picks up all the volunteers was late. And it was a Friday afternoon. We'd been working all week and there was nothing to do but sit there and have a beer with this guy while we waited. I ended up just seeing, you know what? Imagine that Iran addressed the United Nations tomorrow and said, you know, we love the American people. We're big fans. It's just the government that's in trouble. You know, you're killing people in the streets. You've got protests. Obviously, things are not working out well for you. On behalf of the American people, we're going to put an Iranian base on Fifth Avenue. We're going to put another base on La Cienega. You're going to see Iranian drones flying and some things blowing up, but don't worry, it's on your behalf. We're so bad at asking ourselves that question of, what would we do in this situation? That is such a simple question. And yet it can't be surprising that people fight back. He got very, very moved and teary and said, I can't believe that I've never asked myself what would happen if that happened in this country. And it was an example to me of one that I would have avoided like the plague if I hadn't had to have it because the truck that was picking us up was late. And it reminded me that in so many instances, our desire to listen is one side of a coin and the other side is our desire to be heard. And because humans are natural mirrors of one another, when we go into an experience deaf to the person we're talking to and sure that we're right, the person we're talking to feels and does the same thing. They also are deaf to what we're saying. And I think the tricky part of mirroring is that you often need to be the one to do it first, to go into a conversation with somebody where you lead with a vulnerability or with some opinion that you used to hold, but your thoughts have evolved on, gives that person permission to do the same thing and to share those same vulnerabilities with you, rather than going in with your kind of hackles up and wanting to prove why you're right, in which case they will mirror that too. What we meet in conversation and what we meet in community is a projection of ourselves. And when we go into a conversation ready to listen, we often are surprised that the person we're talking to ends up listening to us right back.
Practicing listening. Is that something that you were taught in spy school? Because I think you're right. It's such an important tool, and yet it doesn't feel like something that we're really talking about as being something you have to work at and refine.
It's funny because it's very intuitive to all of us in certain ways. All of us have had the experience of kind of backing out of a driveway or something where whoever's in the passenger seat jumps out and helps to tell you what obstacles you're about to hit, because you can only see so much from your position and they can see other things from where they're standing. And in that case, none of us takes it as a personal affront or a challenge to our wisdom or strength in the world that from our position, we can't see everything and we need the person to jump out and tell us what they're seeing from their perspective. It just helps us to navigate the world. And yet when it comes to the opinions that we all glean and learn from our life experience, we somehow have internalized that it's a flaw to not be able to see everything and know everything from the one position that we're in the world. When in reality, it's just completely impossible. You know, it's completely impossible to have shared in the lived experiences of all of the billions of people that share this planet. It's such a missed opportunity to believe that you are so certain about everything from your one perspective that you close out the guidance of somebody who is telling you how to not hit obstacles or how to navigate the world in a kinder, better, or safer, or even just more practical way. You know, really, if you think about it, life is like a video game, and that every person that you engage with has some secret that you need to unlock the next level.
I heard you talk about how important it is to listen to our enemies and how everyone thinks they're the good guy. That totally blew my brain. I was just like, oh, crap. I should have talked to the friends that I'm not friends with anymore because I thought they were jerks and maybe heard their perspective out a little bit more.
As difficult as it can be to wade into somebody else's worldview when it's very different from your own, to ask yourself, how can I get to a place where I could climb inside their perspective enough to understand how they could feel they are acting as the good guy? They are protecting the vulnerable. They are doing what is called of them ethically in their life. Can unlock so many aha moments. And it doesn't mean that you agree with them. And it doesn't mean that you're excusing heinous actions that they're supporting or perpetrating or being a part of. And I think that's one of the things that the modern psyche, and especially the American kind of Wild West psyche, really has trouble with, is conflating the idea of listening to someone with the idea of somehow validating them, that by hearing them out, you're actually agreeing with them. When in truth, what you're doing is trying to understand their humanity and how they've come to the place that they are, so that if there's some sliver of overlap, you can actually find that common ground and begin to build on it. And the amazing thing that happens when you do sit quietly and ask yourself that question, how could I possibly feel that I were the good guy if I were holding this perspective, whatever the perspective might be, that you find particularly heinous? The answer almost always is rooted in these very human experiences of grief and fear and shame. You know, humiliation is a huge one. And we see these agonies over kind of screaming into the wind and feelings of not being heard playing out all over the world, and I think escalating at the moment. And so many of the sort of spasms of violence that I've come across in my career, their initial seed is that feeling of not being heard. What we can do by listening to one another is far more powerful than it seems.
Listening is just an invitation to listen. It's very different than engaging in a conversation where the whole time you're like, I'm going to spout back the data and the facts back to you, and I'm going to try and make sense of this, and I'm going to defend my position. Listening is incredibly vulnerable and is the first step in all of this, because you're actually putting aside perhaps what you know about the world. And I think those are some of the most powerful moments that I've witnessed in my life, is when I have experienced either myself or have watched others take a step towards saying, I don't know. I have no idea. I'm allowing the world to fall apart. The world that I have built my beliefs around, the world as I know it, is gone. And I'm going to allow myself to listen to something that's different. And to me, there's so much strength in that, because it also means that you're trusting yourself to intake the information and take what you want from it. It doesn't mean that you have to now suddenly believe everything somebody else is saying. You're standing and you're opening. I would just love to see more of in the world. Can you talk a little bit about maybe what these steps look like for somebody who wants to practice listening, in particular in a situation that might feel difficult to listen to?
One of the very first steps is learning to listen to your own voice and to yourself, which is so difficult in today's world. So much of what we feel so certain about when we actually get quiet and listen to our own voice, we realize did not originate from within us and may not have even originated from experiences that we have had firsthand, but have originated from stories we've been told, fear narratives that pervade culture and media. And when we get really quiet and listen to ourselves that don't actually resonate or feel true, I think we have this innate gift, each of us inside of ourselves, to know what feels true when we get really quiet and we listen to it. And one of the concerns that I have with the 24-hour news cycle and the segmentation of media and pervasiveness of clickbait and online culture is that the ability to get quiet and listen to yourself and remember why you believe what you believe and where you experienced it and whether or not it does feel true to you. It is relegated to smaller and smaller parts of our lives, maybe that 5 minutes before you go to sleep, unless you really carve out and prioritize taking time to listen to yourself. That is something that, along with all of the crazy spy tech tools of the trade that we learned at CIA training, meditation training was a big part of that experience. So I think that is step one. And that in and of itself is a really, really powerful and difficult and lifelong journey step. These aren't sequential, because if you were to wait until you mastered step one, you would never get to step two, or at least I wouldn't. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't be there at all. I would be listening to no one, not even you.
Yeah, that's what, we would not be here right now.
No, we wouldn't have a podcast.
But as you continue to work on that, the second step is mirroring, right? And realizing that when you come to a conversation, especially somebody whose perspective you find really challenging, you know, leading with your vulnerability, leading with, I don't know, that used to be a really honorable answer. And I think in our 24-hour talking heads cycle world, everybody is expected to have their prepared opinion and prepared soundbite about absolutely every issue. You do yourself such an injustice by always defaulting to whatever thing you think you know about an issue, because it's like leaving free money on the table. Somebody else was just about to share some completely different perspective or experience that could take your worldview from the two-dimensional to the three-dimensional, from the square and the triangle to the pyramid. So going in and leading with, here are thoughts that I've had, but recently I've changed my mind in this way because I had this experience. That kind of vulnerability of sharing a moment where your thoughts evolved or you were wrong, that's something that we really need to normalize. There is a magical experience that happens where the person that you're speaking to takes your lead and feels permission to be vulnerable and to update their worldview and to admit that maybe they're wrong in certain areas in the same way that you just have. And suddenly you end up having this beautiful co-evolution of ideas and true collaboration.
Here's what I'm hearing.
Oh, yes, yes. I'm soothed.
Part of the I don't know is saying, I look forward to finding out what you know that I don't already know.
Correct.
I love that.
Okay, thank you.
Because what is life other than that? How boring if you're born knowing it all and then you just go through life spending 100 years telling everybody what you know and you were right all along and then you die. Like, that's not why we're here, guys. The challenge is that these things intersect so deeply with power structures in our society that we're trying to peel back and deconstruct right now. But we all are conditioned to listen. It's just that we're conditioned to listen to certain voices that are loud and powerful, whether that's because they're very close to us in our household or whether it's because they're the voices that are being elevated in the media. But the people who have the most insight into what obstacles you're going to hit when you back that car out of the driveway, who are on the ground experiencing so many of the challenges that we're talking about, are those voices least lifted up.
Despite the fact that you have a lot of practice in the area of listening, you've been in a lot of high pressure situations where listening was incredibly important, as well as, I'm sure, private personal moments. Are there still areas that you find it difficult to listen?
So many. It's the great work of all of our lives. I have a 2.5-year-old and a 12-year-old who are some of my greatest teachers. When I stop feeling that whatever urgency in our schedule for the day is the most important thing and actually sit and listen to what they're telling me, I've had some of the most profound revelations of my life. So it's not just about geopolitics. It's not just about how to engage with people who disagree with us politically. It's also about how do we listen to one another in our homes. The vulnerability and ability to hear your spouse and have a conversation in your own home with your own family is mirrored in your ability to do that in your community and in your political involvement. And then that's mirrored in your country's ability to do that on the global and geopolitical stage. Sometimes we can feel powerless when we look at these huge problems, but I believe that the small ripples that come from a really engaged listening session, even with somebody you love in your own home, or a small conversation about a small topic in your community, those ripples go out farther than you know. Working on listening at home is a powerful contribution to moving us towards a kinder and more open world.
Is there anything that you'd like to leave our listeners with today?
I think the idea that each of us is powerful beyond measure is such an important one, that listening can seem like a weak art and that fighting is the stronger way to make a difference in the world. Every day we make these choices about whether to continue to build walls or whether to reach out and listen to one another and grow our worldview with bridges. There are so many instances where we can turn people from hate and from violence by treating them with love. And that doing that, even in the smallest instances in our private lives and in our local communities, I think is the greatest act of bringing about the change that we want to see in the world that any of us can engage in right now. If everything feels a little overwhelming, pandemics and warfare and everything else that the world is facing right now, climate crisis feels too big, just remember that each of those acts of listening and each of those acts of kindness, I've seen them be powerful enough that they're the equivalent of getting to the bomb before it goes off. I think if each of us makes those decisions, those small decisions in our lives, we can move mountains.
You're such a poet.
My mom is a poet, so that's the greatest compliment anybody could give me.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Lastly, will you tell us a little bit about the projects that you're working on now?
I'm very excited at the moment to be writing for young people. I just finished the first in a series of YA books. The idea behind these books is to write for the young people today who understand intuitively that they are the only ones that can save the world right now, not in some far-off realm with unicorns and spaceships, but right here in real freaking life. I am so heartened and amazed and inspired by the people who are doing that every day. So this is a book series for them. It's about asking the question, what would happen if actually secretly world peace was maintained by the teenage kids of world leaders who steal information from their parents and share it amongst themselves to keep their parents out of war? It's an exciting adventure series, gets into a lot of intergenerational justice questions. And as part of that, I'm launching a podcast and doc series that features the real life teenage activists from Gen Z, young millennials who are putting their life and liberty on the line to save the world for the rest of us.
Thank you so much. Thank you for being this voice of representation too. It's so inspiring to see a woman like you have these stories under your belt. It's really, I'm trying not to curse. Very cool.
Why can't you curse?
It's super fucking cool.
I think you two are super fucking cool. This entire podcast is about listening, right? And elevating voices. And I have been listening to your podcast since you launched it with my 12-year-old. So sorry about the cursing, Zoe. But she absolutely loves it. Your episode on friendship was her very favorite. But I think the notion of strong, successful people, strong, successful women in this case, even better, modeling the I don't know, modeling the come and teach and let's all learn together and grow together is something that we so urgently need. So I'm so grateful that you two are doing this labor of love. It's the Lord's work, as they say.
Thank you.
Thank you. It was so good to meet you.
Bye, guys.
So what an incredible conversation with Amaryllis, but we thought let's get another perspective, another angle on the concept of listening. Maybe a side of this that isn't just about being in a room with another human, but actually being out in the world.
Yeah. So our next guest is a birder. He listens to birds, and his name is Josh Bellamy. He's a self-described black birder near you, conservation educator, wildlife activist, and an overall animal geek based in Atlanta, Georgia. Hi, Josh.
Josh. So, Josh, can you explain to us what it means to be a birder?
Well, for me, it's kind of coming out of myself and going into nature and just seeing birds just doing their natural thing.
How did you get into bird watching?
I started officially 2 years ago doing birding with the National Audubon Society. I can say I've been doing it on my own since I was little. I can pick out birds just by observations and just seeing what they look like, also from their calls and whatnot. But I can say definitely with Audubon, I learned the trade.
How do you recognize bird calls? Like, what is different in different calls? And how do you start to categorize the different calls so that you can even know which call is whose?
Honestly, I will say it's just with repetition. I kept hearing them and hearing them and hearing them. And I will also go on YouTube and start playing them. So I'll get used to like hearing them, right? So then when I go out to the actual habitats and then boom, I hear a northern cardinal, or boom, I hear an eastern bluebird. Once you start paying attention and just kind of stepping out of yourself, you start to listen to things that you were listening to before.
Nature is happening all around us. And to your point, it's like we have to get outside of ourselves and listen to the things that are happening around us. Is this something that you were taught as a kid or were taught to explore? Or was it something that from a young age you just sort of understood? Because I think that's a really unique skill to have.
You're right. It is a unique skill. But for me, I think it's a little bit of both. You kind of have to already have that curiosity to kind of go out. For some people, it's not for them. I came to learn that you don't really have to go very far to find these birds. You know, now you do have to go to certain places, but you don't have to go very far to find birds. Really, I think the important thing is you kind of got to come out of yourself and just be open to what's around you. Because I'm going to be honest, I wasn't going to be the first person to be out in the woods because it's a lot of bugs. I think that's the concern for a lot of people, and I am one of those. And just going with the right people, I came out of my comfort zone and just went into nature, and I've just fell in love. You go to nature to appreciate it because we kind of take those things for granted on our day-to-day basis. So it's kind of a reminder for me to go and see what's out there while it's still out there. A lot of birds are following the trail to being endangered due to human encroachment or other things that contribute to environmental issues that affect birds.
So you practice listening on this really deep level, and I'm curious, when you're out in the field birding, do you feel like it changes your mental state?
Yes, it does. I take this very seriously. I have a passion for conservation, and I love wildlife. So when I'm there, I am there. Please do not disturb me, okay? We are birding, and that is what we come here to do.
Okay.
I love that. We were disarmed.
I can't believe it. I'm so impressed. I've never taken anything that seriously in my life.
Well, come on, let's do it. Let's go. We have to go birding sometime.
I'm so down to go birding. I'm very inspired by this.
Yeah, I'm calling you next time I'm in Atlanta for sure.
Come on, we're going to do it.
Perfect. We're in Atlanta all the time. We're totally going birding. That's it.
Well, y'all have to follow up.
I don't want to disturb you.
I'll be happy to do it. You won't be disturbing me. Say, Jesse and Bree want to go birding? I said, let's do it. I'm down.
Let's do it. I'm so down for that.
As you become a more experienced birder, do you feel like you can get more of a sense of what they're saying to each other?
I would say yes. You can tell the difference of a certain call for what it may mean. Like a mating call will sound different from a territorial call. There's songs and then there's calls. Usually songs are used to attract other birds. Calls are also to attract certain birds. But it's also, from what I've heard, is to scare away other birds. So, for example, the blue jay actually can imitate other bird calls. They can imitate a red-shouldered hawk's call. So they use that call to scare off other birds. It's the difference between songs and calls.
Is there anything that you've learned while birding that you've then taken into your life? Have you learned something from the birds that you've been able to use with humans?
Oh my gosh. So honestly, it's again, just kind of coming out of yourself and listening to people and actually hearing their side of things, because we all have our opinions. But I think to actually understand where someone else is coming from is very, very important to get to a conclusion in any kind of situation. So that's really where I've learned from birds, to kind of come out of myself and listen to other people and actually understanding what that person is saying.
Do you feel like you've learned anything about yourself or even society from bird watching?
Yes. Being adaptable. Being able to go into different places and represent yourself well. I think that's very important, and I've seen that in birds. Birds are in a lot of different environments or a lot of different habitats. So being able to better suit for yourself and to be able to kind of navigate in that environment is very important, and to go into different environments, that's very important. And to also not forget yourself. So what makes yourself unique? What makes yourself stand out? So certain birds have certain qualities or certain characteristics that helps them stand out from other birds. So what makes you stand out?
God, that's wow. So beautiful.
Thank you.
I just love that idea. Like, if I'm somewhere where I feel like I don't belong, maybe that's something that's beautiful and I should enjoy my feathers.
Exactly. Love yourself. Yes. Enjoy what makes yourself you.
Oh, the wisdom. That doc, The Day the World Changed, it's about the amazing, great things that happened with the environment when the lockdown happened and everybody was at home, not in their cars. And there's one part about a certain type of bird actually could sing at a certain pitch humans had never heard before because there was so much traffic. They had never heard it until there were no cars there.
Wow. I'm amazed by that. And I'm not surprised either.
Things are happening and we're just creating so much noise, we can't hear it.
Again, where I say we have to come out of ourselves and really pay attention to what's around us. Because that makes zero sense to me that we are just now realizing that pitch level from that bird. I love news like that. So thank you, Brie. Thank you.
Absolutely. Yeah, I recommend the doc. It's really interesting. I forgot. I was like, oh yeah, there was that optimistic period of time with this. It wasn't just always scary. There was something that was like, oh, the earth is healing a little bit. I would love to hear from you. Why do you think more people should become birders?
Because it's a fun activity. It doesn't take a lot for you to become a birder, honestly. Any one of us can be birders.
Is there something you wish everyone knew about listening?
It honestly takes you to come out of yourself to pay attention to the other person. Because you don't have to say anything. You don't have to give your opinion. You don't have to be right either. You just need to be able to understand the person that's next to you. And you don't have to come to an agreement either. It's not agreeing with me. You don't have to be my yes man. But definitely listening to me and understanding what I'm saying, I think, is very important. We're all students, you know, we're all still learning and progressing in our own ways. But birding has definitely helped me pay attention to people and just listen to them.
Well, Josh, thank you so much. And I just appreciate you jumping in and coming on to this show. It's amazing. And we are huge fans of you. When we are in Atlanta, which trust me, Jesse and I will be there sooner than you realize, interrupting you.
Oh my gosh. I'm excited for it. Come on, y'all.
It's a serious thing. We will be there.
Thank you so much, Josh. It was such a pleasure getting to talk to you.
Thank y'all for having me. I'm so, so appreciative. This was an amazing conversation, and I enjoyed it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye.
Angel.
That was one of my favorite conversations we've ever
had. So easy. So lovely. Said so many nice things.
And didn't even know about the conversation with Amaryllis and said, like, the same things that she said. I mean, the synchronicities and the magic. I mean, this is what I love about doing this and about having two guests is that you get people that have come from totally different backgrounds that have experienced completely different things and yet through their own wisdom and experience arrive at similar or the same conclusions.
Yes. Listening's easy and you don't have to have something to say. He was like, just listen, just try to understand someone. It doesn't need to be a fight. It doesn't even need to be a conversation. Just open your ears and listen. And then, oh my God, my heart broke open when he said that what he's learned from birds is that you can be unique and go out into different environments and be yourself.
Be yourself. All these birds are so unique. I immediately was like thinking of Drag Race and how everybody kind of has their own style and their own way of expression and how much I long to have a sense of style. And maybe this is it. Maybe birding is going to be my jumping off point.
It sounds so fun. I'm down to go birding with you if you want.
Oh, 100%. Well, I'm excited to listen more. And I feel heartened by the fact that our two guests, who I think are exceptional listeners, also say that they're students as well, that it's a process. It's not something that you just arrive at and are done, which, God, could I just have one thing that you arrive at and you're done?
And when he was talking about being students, I was like, this is the whole thing I have to keep reminding myself with this podcast. We just get to keep learning, and what a joy it is.
I'd love to leave our listeners with something. Fun idea. Well, fun for me at least. Could our listeners maybe try listening to some birds and either record them, take a photo? It's all good. You can just tell us that you saw something. We don't need necessarily to live in a world of pics or it didn't happen. But what did you see? What did you experience? I'm just curious if we used birding as maybe one of the exercises. You know, we've done like the meditations or the breathing exercises. Maybe this is the new one for this episode of it's something that we can all try, even if it's just walking outside our front door and just taking 10 seconds to just listen.
I love that.
Wow, what a pleasure. Thank you, Jesse. Thanks for listening to me.
Thanks for being the bird that you are.
Oh, thank you. I was going to say shake my tail feathers and just bail. It's like, I can't. I just can't. For so many reasons, it's just not, I can't say that.
Well, thank you, listeners. We hope that you enjoyed listening to our episode about listening. And please go outside and listen to some birds now.
And let us know. You can tag us on Learning Lots podcast and show us your birds. Maybe we'll repost them.
Love you.
Love you. Bye.
Bye.